All right, now it's time to bring our good friend and a neighbor, Brian Ross, in and present some real news to you. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning, and we're always love to have him on. Brian, good morning.
Good morning to you. It's a morning where the world seems obsessed by either Dr. Seuss or Harry and Meghan.
Dr. Seuss, Harry and Meghan, or a guy with the name of Cuomo as well.
And let's not overlook the fact, though, of what the House passed yesterday and sending the president to sign on Friday is this amazing bill that really is much more than anybody ever thought was possible from a Congress and from a very split Senate. Even so, it is a bill that is a landmark in terms of the change and what can happen in this country, and one that represents a progressive agenda that comes with a majority that Biden had, but not an overwhelming majority.
Well, he has been able, with the assistance of Bernie Sanders, to keep the progressive wing of the party somewhat happy, and that's a big important thing. But I think that before we talk about anything else about this, the amazing thing is he's done this, plus he's increased the vaccinations. He's done all this in 50 days. I mean, plus let's include the executive orders that turned back a lot of what the former president did. I mean, for a Sleepy Joe, he's had an amazing 50 days.
Sleepy Joe, 50 or 51 days. Apparently, they're no longer counting that first day as a day, so they make it a nice even 50. Even so, he speaks to the country tonight in his first national address, and there's a lot to applaud, and there's some questions that have arisen about some other issues that he really hasn't got a handle on, schools and the border.
Yeah, well, you know, that's such a thing. The border, no president has had a handle on that one way or the other, basically ever. But schools, yes. I mean, I think all that parents and teachers and students are looking for is a definitive date knowing when they can get back to school. Now, they're going to be wearing masks. There's no doubt about that when it eventually happens. But just, you know, don't overpromise. Just say, you know what, we are shooting so that for the next school year, you will be back in school, maybe wearing masks, but you'll be learning, you'll be teaching, and parents won't have to do home learning anymore. I mean, that is really an important thing that he has to look through.
I agree, and I think that's the one place where I have seen stumbles in terms of his administration's messaging and in their policies. They've changed the rules, they've changed the projections and changed the predictions. So, as you say, it's hard for parents to know what's coming, whether it's going to be a permanent situation or it's going to fall back. And that's the one area I think he has to address, and I hope he addresses it tonight.
Oh, I think they will, because the way they've handled the COVID is just perfect. I mean, he has not been involved in it publicly. His group that he has put together has done an outstanding job. So we'll see what happens as we move along from there. But I do want to get to the governor of New York, because
right.
I had talked about it with my meteorologist today, and he just had a question, why has this come out now? And, well, you know, if you remember back a week and a half ago, it was one of his own, a Democratic legislator, that he just incredibly bullied on the phone. And the guy came through with his story, and it wasn't denied. And I think that might have given impetus to women who felt that maybe they were pressured. You know what? If a member of his own legislature can do it, we can do it.
Well, there were some real hints about this late last year, but I think the criticism of why now is misguided.
Yep.
Because it is coming out, and no one is holding back on this at all. And, you know, it's interesting to see how in 1 year, remember, it was a year ago this week, really, we began the lockdown experience, and he became the alternative to a president who was not meeting his responsibilities, and he was being widely saluted for doing that. And now a year later, how the mighty fall.
Yeah, it's one of those things in life that time bears all. Now we can get on to England for a second. And, I mean, there's a lot of great things about the press in England. I do follow The Guardian. I love the BBC. That's why we carry them, because I just think they give the best world news. But the infatuation with the royal family, and now you add the term racism in with it, and what the former prince and Meghan are doing, and what the what the family's doing. This has just turned into a crisis.
It really has, sort of their own making, in a way. If you can take the word of Harry and Meghan, I think they came across, to me at least, as authentic. But I understand, you know, Piers Morgan and others who don't buy it at all. They have a loyalty to the royal family. But you really do, I think, you know, as former Prince Harry said, his father and his brother are trapped, and you sort of look at them in their outfits, their military. It's like their costumes on a massive playset that primarily seems to benefit the tourism. People go to England to see the Queen and the palace.
You know, and it's one of those things where this, you know, there's always been times where people have questioned the monarchy, all right? But I think in today's age, something like this really does put a big question on the mark on the monarchy.
Well, indeed. And, you know, her allegation that there is this sort of embedded racism there, and there was concern about the color of the skin of her child, how dark it might be, was stunning to hear. And nobody's knocked that back. And they won't say who it was who made that question, but you know, reading the British press this morning, the Queen now is launching her own personal investigation. She's going to get to the bottom of it, they say.
Well, it makes for interesting times, and like I said, just the current position and what's going on with racism and discrimination makes it a big story. Let's go on to what's going on with China and the EU coming out and basically blasting what they're doing with Muslims. And the United States now is just in the beginning stages of setting up negotiations with China.
Well, you know, they have a lot to answer for with their is a totalitarian government. Let's not forget that for a second. And they have mistreated huge numbers of people there in really what are almost like concentration camps. And that can't be overlooked, even though we have to respect, I guess, the economic power of the country. You know, I think Mr. Biden is standing up for what's right in terms of human rights. I was disappointed in the failure to do more with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. But let's hope there's a different outcome with China.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. And then you've got Myanmar, what's going on there. I mean, the world right now is trapped in this freedom versus non-freedom movement. And our country was trapped in it, too, when the former president was president. It's going to be interesting to see if America's leadership, and this is one thing you have to give Joe Biden, first of all, an outstanding 50 days, but the calm leadership that he has installed at the top here, the world needs it more than ever right now.
Absolutely. And, you know, Marshall, again, if we step back from where we were a year ago, what we've been through in the last year with a pandemic, incompetent president, and all sorts of issues, we're in a much better place today.
Yeah, I think the world is, I believe it or not. There's no doubt about it. Well, do you have anything that, seeing as I've been hogging up the time, that you want to get in here this morning?
No, I was thrilled to see a jury in Des Moines, Iowa, acquitted a journalist, a Des Moines Register reporter, who was arrested for covering Black Lives a matter of movement and protest. She was arrested by police, pepper sprayed, and the district attorney there put her on trial for failing to follow a police order. And a jury there in Iowa, where I went to school and spent a lot of time, acquitted her, found her not guilty of the charges, and she is free. And that was a important victory for reporters who go out and cover these kinds of things, and a shame on the, the Polk County prosecutor and the Des Moines Police Department for making it happen in the first place. You know, it's thrilling to see as we move forward. These are all issues. They're always going to be news. And we've got a lot of real news now, and I think we're well past the old fake news and we're into the real news era, and there's going to be stories. There will be disappointments, and there'll be excitement, and we're in a better place.
We're in a better place, and you know what? The media is not dropping the ball. I mean, it doesn't matter that Andrew Cuomo's a Democrat. It doesn't matter that Joe Biden's a Democrat. I've seen stories written, and I've heard on the evil networks for conservatives, CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times, stories that take Biden to task on exactly what you're talking about. And we don't have to talk about and worry about the former president and his Twitter.
That's right. You know, real news is real news. And whoever is running the country will be subjected to, I hope, a very stiff and, appropriate examination by reporters. That's how it should be and how it always has been.
Brian, it's always great to talk with you. Have a great weekend, and I'll speak to you next week.
Looking forward to it, Marshall.
Take care. Brian Ross with Real News this morning here on Robinhood Radio. You can find him also on demand, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.